Wes and I were talking about what we were preaching on Sunday, and I said, are you preaching Revelation? He said, no, Mom, I'm not preaching Revelation. But I am. Because there's something about the image of this particular scene that makes me think about All Saints Sunday and that vision of the throne of God and the Lamb and the thousands, those without number, in white, robed in white in front of the throne. People from every nation, every race, every ethnicity. There was no discrimination in terms of who could be before the throne of God. That salvation belongs to God, not to us. And salvation comes through the Lamb of God, who is Jesus Christ. But it also reminds me of all those who come before us on All Saints Day. And all the ones who brought us to the places where we question and learn and grow as followers of Jesus Christ. And how important our history is. Not only the history that's found in this book, but our history as the body of Christ. So you know I love movies. Well, the Dead Poets Society was a wonderful movie that Robin Williams starred in. And he was an English professor in this Ivy League high school. And he had students in the class who, it was an all-male school, and they were kind of wondering why they had to take an English class and why English was important or anything was important in their lives, because everything was given to them. They didn't have to judge anything by its level of importance. And one day, in the first week of school, Robin brings them out into their entryway. Now, how many of you have been to a high school that had that trophy wall? And that you wondered sometimes how tarnished those trophies were. When was the last time anyone dusted off the trophies in the trophy wall? Well, he brought them to the trophy wall. And he began to show them the old trophies and the names of the people on those trophies. And how he said, they were you once. They were sitting in these chairs once. But one time they were taught to seize the day, carpe diem, to take control of the life and the gifts and the graces God had given them to do something in the world. And you need to remember these people, because these people did that, and you are in this place where you can learn to do that as well. That it is up to you to take control of the things you have, seize the day, and make something of yourself and make the world a better place. We have a room similar to that here at Plank Chapel. We have this beautiful cabinet with some of the history displayed, some of the history we still have not yet gotten out and displayed. But it is a reminder to us of the saints that came before us, that seized the day, took this community by the hand, and with the gifts and graces God gave them, created a place of worship, created a people to worship God, and raised up generations of Christians so that this community would be a different place because we were here. But there's more in this passage besides just the history of those who were there. If you listened carefully, it says that they were clothed in white and that they had come through the ordeal, that their clothing in white came through the blood of their ordeal, through the blood of Christ. These were people who took a stand. In the time that John had this vision, he was in Asia Minor. And Christians in Asia Minor were not the popular group. And often they were martyred like all of the apostles were martyred. So to be one of those saints clothed in white, it often meant you were one of those who took a stand for Christ. And that taking that stand for Jesus Christ meant you lost your life. When we think about today, and what that says to us today, when Christianity is pretty much an accepted faith base, there are places still in this world where you can be killed if you proclaim Christ. But here in the United States, it's not quite as a troubling thing to stand for Jesus. But is that true? Is that true today? Jesus Christ stood for a particular thing. He stood for love. He stood for inclusiveness. He did not want anyone excluded. To be excluded is always a personal choice of ours. Someone can be excluded from salvation because salvation isn't ours. It is God's, but we have got to respond to the question of, do you want a life of grace? But Jesus didn't exclude anyone from the invitation to the table, the invitation to know God's love. Today, in the body of Christ, are we making judgments that belong to God? Are we making barriers around God's table so that others feel they cannot come? Are we taking the stance of what you read, what you heard in the Matthew passage with the Pharisees and holding on to what we believe is the only way so that some may not even enter our doors? Are we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, fighting one another over what Scripture says rather than listening to one another and hearing truth from each other's perspective? Because the truth belongs to God. And the only truth that there is God's love for us, shown through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that the world might be saved. The reason for all these people around the throne, clothed in white, is because they believe that. This passage gives us hope for the future that God has for God's world. It speaks to us of the faith of those who would stand in the perils of the world and proclaim Christ, which means proclaim love. And it also talks to us about God's love and faithfulness, that God will never forsake God's promises to us. That the invitation is always out there to be part of God's community. That we are to seize the opportunity when it comes our way to proclaim the message of love to a hurting and fallen world. Because, brothers and sisters, we know when we sin. We know when we fall short of the glory of God. In fact, I think we can beat ourselves up better than we can love ourselves. What God wants us to remember is that God loves us. And God died for us so that we don't have to beat ourselves up. If we come to the foot of the cross and ask for forgiveness for that which we have done, we are forgiven. We let it go. God's gift to us in the Savior is the gift of freedom from the bondage of sin. And so many saints who have come before us can share that message with us. And if you can remember that the gift of love is a gift that God gives to you through Jesus Christ. And that we extend that gift each and every time we come to Christ's table. This is an open table in the United Methodist Church. It is not a closed table. All who can come who earnestly repent of their sin and wish to be in a relationship of love with God through Jesus Christ. I love when people send me emails. And sometimes I forget to share them. And Scott had sent me an email and said, this would be really good for World Communion. And you'll understand why he said that in a minute. But he even flagged it for importance and forgot it. But this is, God uses God's timing when God needs to share his story. What he shared with me was a story of Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong when they landed on the moon. And the fact that Buzz Aldrin was a Presbyterian minister, and what he took up with him in that lunar module was consecrated elements. He took a little bit of grape juice. I don't think it was wine. He was Presbyterian. It would have been grape juice. And a communion wafer. And when he was on the moon, on the surface of the moon, he opened it up and he said, because of the low gravity, the juice began to come out of the cup. And he received the elements. And he offered these words. He gave thanks to God. It says, this is the LM pilot. I'd like to take this opportunity to ask every person listening in, whoever and wherever they may be, to pause for a moment and contemplate the events of the past few hours and to give thanks in his or her own way. He then ended radio communication, and there on the silent surface of the moon, 250,000 miles from home, he read a verse from the Gospel of John, and he took communion. And what he said was, the scripture he read was John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whosoever abides in me will bring forth much fruit, and apart from me, you can do nothing. He said, I had intended to read my communion passage back to earth, but at the last minute, Mission Control requested that I not do this. NASA was already embroiled in a legal battle with Madeleine Murray O'Hare, the notorious opponent of religion, over the Apollo 8 crew reading from Genesis while orbiting the moon at Christmas. I agreed reluctantly. I ate the tiny host and swallowed the wine. I gave thanks for the intelligence and spirit that had brought two young pilots to the Sea of Tranquility. It was interesting for me to think the very first liquid ever poured on the moon and the very first food eaten there were the communion elements. And of course, it's interesting to think that some of the first words spoken on the moon were the words of Jesus Christ. Why is it more fitting for today? Because not only did he be one of our saints of God before the throne of God, but he stood in a place where he proclaimed Christ in a world that did not want to hear it. Even in the silence of the radio, he still spoke. Even in the silence of the radio, he still received. We're washed white through the blood of the Lamb. And we're all invited to Christ's table so that we can all feast together and have a foretaste of that heavenly banquet. Can you just imagine what that's going to be? I can't, but I can't wait. I hope you can't either. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.